Welcome to this ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. ICMA is the premier local government leadership and management organization. The ICMA Sustainable Communities Initiative strengthens local government's capacity to meet their sustainability goals. For more information, visit icma.org.
Hi, I'm Anna Reed with ICMA Center for Sustainable Communities, and today I'm talking with Barbara Buffalo, the Sustainability Manager for the City of Columbia, and Connie Kaperwitz, a Utilities Services Specialist. Thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Yes, we're glad to be here.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about the city's renewable portfolio standard and the impetus behind adopting that?
Well, it was actually something that citizens got involved, started a petition, and then it was in 2004. So it was a city, just for the City of Columbia, and it had increasing amounts of renewable energy required for, we have a municipal utility here in Columbia. And so that was in 2004, and a very high percentage of the voters approved it, so we realized that it was something that we really needed to get behind and embrace. So we pretty much hit the ground running and have at least met the standard, and I'm proud to announce that we exceeded it last year.
Yeah, and I was going to, so this is Barbara. When Connie's talking about the voter-approved or community-supported, we're really lucky in that we have both community-driven, you know, sustainability efforts, and then we also have internal, like, our city manager is very supportive of sustainability efforts, as are our directors for our water and light utility and our public works director. So when we're looking for places to do some of our renewable energy, like generation, it's not just purchasing it all from other entities, like a wind farm. We purchase a lot from wind farms or from other places. You know, some of our directors come up with ideas of, hey, we could put solar panels on, you know, one of our public works buildings or one of our water and light department buildings, and that's how we can help generate some of our renewable energy.
Great. And then can you tell us a little bit about some of the specific solar programs that the city does have underway?
We have really cool programs, wouldn't you say, Connie?
Well, I would say they're very cool.
Yeah.
One of the unique programs that we have here in Columbia is a program called Solar One. And that program was started because we had some large industrial customers for the utility that wanted to do some kind of renewable energy. So there was the need there. But also, just from a, because there's a cost cap on the renewable energy standard, it wasn't economically feasible for us to invest in a lot of solar. We like the idea of the local generation, and obviously it's producing power in the summertime when we really need it.
Yeah. We should also mention that because, yeah, we're in the middle of Missouri, our solar radiance, you know, we don't have the highest. So it's kind of surprising to see that we have as high of a generation. What is it? It's going to be 1% this year.
Hopefully 1% by the end of the year if all the projects go through.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy to think about that because we're in Missouri. It's not the sunniest state. You know, we're not in the Southwest, but we're still able to do it, and people want to do it.
Yeah. And our electric rates are still relatively low, too, so that makes the economics come into play. But what we did is one of our customers, Quaker, part of the PepsiCo Corporation, had a green initiative, and so they wanted to do something. So we came up with this program where businesses could go ahead and buy solar panels, and then they would sell that electricity to us, and it would go into our distribution system. Because the cost cap of the renewable energy portfolio, we couldn't just roll those extra costs in. And so we went out and got voluntary subscriptions to the Solar One program, where customers are paying, it started out at an extra $4 a month, now it's an extra $3.35 a month. So they're paying for the development of local solar energy. The good thing for the businesses is that they have a, you know, long-term contract with us, but they get all the tax credits from buying those solar panels, and they actually own it.
And they start to use it more as like kind of a marketing, not just a, you know, like Quaker wanted to do something green. They wanted to be more sustainable, so they wanted it to be part of their mission. But it's also become kind of a marketing PR thing for them. Like, hey, look at us. We have solar panels on here. So we even have smaller businesses. Like think about, you know, Bright City Lights. We've got a small little lighting store that's off of the highway, and you can actually see their awning has solar panels on it. Because they believe in sustainability and having like the green, but also they can say, oh, do you need to find our business? We're the ones with the solar panel awning. And then people are like, oh yeah, I've seen that. I know where that is.
So, and the great thing about this program is it's kind of developed steam. We've gotten some attention for it. And then we had Dow Chemical approach us, and they had some different solar panels that they wanted to do some testing on to see what the output was, some newer technologies. And so we have some solar panels on city-owned property at one of our water pumping stations, just some different kinds of solar technologies, including solar shingles. So we essentially got those for free and were able to install those. So it's one of those things that once we got it started and we got some media on it, then we kind of got to be known and other people started coming to us about their solar projects.
Right. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of calls from like other sustainability directors within city governments or other city managers calling us asking, so how is it that Columbia, Missouri has all these great solar programs? And we're like, well, it just kind of snowballed into this effect, and now we've become known for this. And I think part of it is, you mentioned, Connie, that we have some of our panels, they're at one of our pumping stations, and most people probably never notice this pumping station in the middle of the city, but they notice a big field of solar panels. And so they start to ask about it, or they'll start to question, like, what are those? Are those... is that businesses, mm-hmm. or are those going into my grid? And we get to say, no, yeah, some of the energy that you're using in your home could be coming from those solar panels. So it's pretty good. I think it also helps that the population, our city's population, is more interested in renewable energy. They don't like the dependence on foreign oil. They want to do more local generation. So that's why we have a lot of customers that subscribe to the system, because they want to do something to make a difference.
And we found that most of the people that sign up, a lot of them don't drop out, except for, you know, they move out of town or whatever. But
right.
Generally, people, once they sign up, they've continued on. So it's been a great program.
And you've talked about the community support, both with the RPS and now with the Solar One project. Can you talk about that element a little more and how it plays into renewable energy and the success of programs in the community?
Yeah, we have a very involved community. I would say part of this is that we're a university town. So while we're a population of a little bit over 100,000 people, you know, we have 6 members on council with 1 mayor and our city manager, but we have a very involved community, probably a lot to do with the university and a lot of the industry in town. So our boards and commissions, like I'm the staff liaison for our Environment Energy Commission, and they really push for the renewable portfolio standard. There's also a lot of local conservation groups that were really pushing for a renewable portfolio standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, wasn't Columbia one of the first cities to adopt? I mean, we adopted before the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adopted.
I think one of the very early cities. There were a lot of states that had it. But
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I think also, you know, it helps in a way that, because we're a municipal government, the city council is making all the decisions on the utility, which helped because, you know, the city administration, the city manager, everyone who works for the city gets that feedback from people. The city council people hear a lot from the community members.
Right.
And so I think it really is more community-based decisions, and if the community is behind it and it makes economic sense, then I think that's what's kind of moved things forward, is you have a lot of passionate people, not only in the city government, but also in the community.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there that it makes economic sense. Can you talk a little bit about that side with the investment in renewable energy as well?
Well, that was one of our biggest concerns back in 2004. We didn't have as many renewable options as we have available now. We've been happy that the cost, there's been a lot more projects out there for us to invest in. But like Barbara said earlier, one of the things is that we get most of our power from other places outside of Columbia. So it's important for us to have local generation, but obviously as our electric costs continue to go up, we can't continue to have rate increase after rate increase after mm-hmm. rate increase. And so when we look at something in our renewable energy portfolio, we have to make sure that it's within that 3%, but also it's a reliable source, it's a good project to invest in. So there are a lot of different things we have to look at for our renewable portfolio standard.
And something that has helped us out a lot, and especially helped us out 2 years ago when we entered into a contract with Free Power, was that it's similar to with the Solar One. When other companies are able to take advantage of the tax credits, the federal tax credits for solar installs, things that city governments are not able to take advantage of, that helps us find easier local generation, because then it's more affordable for somebody else to do that and for us to purchase the power from them, basically.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, without the private partnership, a lot of these projects wouldn't have gone off at all. Between the Dow with the donated solar panels that they're using for testing and the free power contract, most of these things wouldn't go through without private companies, and in turn the private companies getting those tax credits. So it really is a huge partnership to make those economies work for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of our other big things is that, so we have interest and we have people always asking us for how can we do more installations or more projects in our town. And one of our big things, and it sounds so boring to say, but we always push first, like, really the best thing is just use less energy first before you start producing your own, just because otherwise, it's really expensive energy mm-hmm. that you're letting out of those leaks around doors and windows. And it sounds like, oh, I'm just talking about your home. But no, I'm talking about City Hall. Because we've been thinking about where we would put solar panels on our roof. And we're like, well, let's make sure we're being as efficient as we can mm-hmm. before we do that.
And yeah, that's a huge component. And we have a lot of energy efficiency programs. And we have had since the late 70s. But now we have a lot of measurable savings.
One thing, too, I was when we talked about the free power contract, that's another one that the city really made the news on, I would say.
Yeah, Free Power is a company that came to us with a wonderful deal. In fact, it was almost seen as too good to be true. They came to us and offered a power purchase agreement where they would install solar panels on city-owned property. The city would develop those projects as far as if they needed any fencing or grading of the land and that type of thing. They, Free Power, purchase the solar panels, they install them, and then they sell us the energy for $54 a megawatt, which most new coal-fired energy is coming in around that. And so that's why the council was just like, there's something going on here. It's almost too good to be true. But they had tax credits. I don't know exactly all their reasons for offering us such a good deal. But that's really enabled us to move forward on a lot of solar panels on city-owned property. And the city has a lot of empty property when you think about the wastewater treatment plant has tons mm-hmm. of space, the landfill, different electric generating stations that we have, natural gas turbines that we have out by the landfill, great space to put solar because there's no trees around them. So that's really made a huge difference, and that's where we're going to be able to get to our 1%, which doesn't sound like that much, but it's huge for a utility in the Midwest
right.
because our energy costs are so low here. So it's really big deal for us to have 1%.
Yeah, definitely.
So sort of going back to what you were talking about with energy efficiency, can you talk a little more both about that and then other sustainability initiatives and how solar ties in with those?
So we have a few different, basically, plans that we go by for providing sustainability programming throughout Columbia. We had both, our community went through a visioning process in which, thousands of people participated in where do we want Columbia to be. I think it was Imagine Columbia's Future, Imagine Columbia's Vision. And with that, there were a lot of, focuses on, they want the city, basically, they expect the city to provide programs that promote energy efficiency, resource conservation, and clean air and clean water. And so in all of our different departments, we have focuses within that. So for instance, the Public Works Department does stormwater education, where they talk about, working with rain gardens and making sure we work about what runoff happens in both businesses and residences. But then within Water and Light, where Connie is, they talk a lot about our demand-side management programs. We see it from the utility side as smart business for us because, hey, if we don't have to purchase as much energy, then we can offer it at a lower rate and everybody benefits. But from our resident side, it's providing good business, good customer service to them. So some of the most popular programs, kind of when you say, like our home performance with Energy Star,
yeah,
we get awards from EPA all the time,
yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah, we've had great success with our home performance with Energy Star program. And for us, it was a great program because it implements all the different measures. We did an integrated resource plan, which measures the cost of the efficiency measures, how much you can offer as an incentive versus the cost of our future power. And so we know exactly, you know, adding 6 inches of insulation, what the value is in that of all these different measures that you can do. And then the home performance program has all of those different types of things because it's a whole house approach. Mm-hmm. So from a utility standpoint, it gives us the branding of that Energy Star name to help us sell the program. People understand the concept of Energy Star. But from our standpoint, if we can go into home and get the most efficiencies possible rather than just doing an air conditioner rebate, those are great, and that's good for people to have higher SEER units on their air conditioners. But we know that
it's all leaking out the windows and doors.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a huge thing, and a lot of learning in the community has to go on because people think that they have. There's a lot in Columbia doesn't have tons of older homes, so a lot of it's newer construction, and people just automatically
assume it's the most efficient if it's the newest.
Yeah.
Well, and I would say too, we have a strong. We just recently did a progress report on our mayor's climate protection agreement. This was at the basically behest of our city manager, saying, how are we doing? We signed in 2006 the Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement that we would reduce our greenhouse gas emissions within these 12 activities. And so, you know, our city manager has only been with us a year, and he's kind of like, well, how are we doing? And we're like, good point. We should find out how we're doing. So we did a progress report for our city council, and they adopted it actually last Monday, looking at, in the different 12 areas, how are we addressing issues of pump efficiency, our water treatment plants or wastewater treatment plants, or what are we doing to do promoting energy efficiency in the residences and businesses within our cities. And then one of the other ones that really came out was, what are you doing to educate your population on this? And that's something that I think Columbia has done a fantastic job. We've partnered with Columbia Public Schools, multiple departments. This is not just the utility has been doing this or the Public Works has been doing this, but multiple departments work with our public schools as well as the universities and the colleges that are in town and just our citizens at public events like Earth Day or Sustainable Living Fair or just any event that's going on, home shows, about the programs that we offer for efficiency and then also like the importance of. So when we're talking about the idea being if I educate you before I start regulating you, you're probably going to have a better experience and so am I. We really believe that. So when we start them young, Connie, don't we go into like seventh graders' classrooms?
We do a lot of science classes of the seventh graders as far as, you know, how energy is produced, mm-hmm. and energy choices is the title of that program.
Yeah.
We have a Saturday science program where kids come in on a Saturday morning and spend their mornings learning about science.
Yeah.
And then we do some stuff with younger than that, but a lot of the utility issues are more junior high.
Right, right. And then we move on to their parents.
So you've definitely mentioned, you know, the whole importance of educating the community. What other sort of advice would you have for communities that are looking at starting sustainability initiatives or solar programs?
I would say one of the big ones is to work with your stakeholders that you have. I mean, our solar programs, a lot of them started out by working with our large industry, who they're demanding it. And so, you know, if you have an interest in doing it, contact work. If you have a local chamber of commerce, they've probably already gotten a few questions related to these programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then other stakeholders, I was thinking about, you know, some of our different environmental groups or even like voter groups like League of Women Voters.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's a lot of things that where you can start out small as well, and especially, you know, there's been lots of studies as far as getting consumers motivated. You know, a lot of the environmental stuff has kind of taken a little bit more of a, you know, a not top of mind awareness since the economy went sour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important point to realize too is that the economics have to be there as well. So if you start out smaller and start more with energy efficiency type stuff, or things that really have a payback, and then you can start proving,
this
makes sense. And so whatever your politics are, whatever background you come from, if you can start out with the small stuff and start out with the economic part of it, most people can understand it. And
right.
especially they want their city government to be watching every penny.
Right.
And
right.
help
well,
them
and they
out
definitely
as well.
We've noticed a kind of a culture shift too in that people are expecting more, that this is something the city provides.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily something that only private industry can do alone. They definitely see that partnership being, I guess, the only way for it to be successful for some
mm-hmm.
of these programs. They view that you have to provide it. It has to be there. Not necessarily in an uneconomic, you know, positive way for them, but they're definitely expecting it more.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for
thank
having
you.
Us.
It was great.
This has been an ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. For more information about ICMA's Sustainable Communities Initiative, visit icma.org.